Steve and I turn now to your comments. Many of your emails were about Tuesday's story on the debate in Kansas over teaching evolution versus intelligent design. Ben Sugarman of Baltimore writes, "Intelligent design is not a scientific theory. Your report touched on this but did not go far enough. A scientific theory makes predictions that are testable." But he continues, "The role of science is not and has never been to replace or disprove religion. Those who feel threatened by science must have a very tenuous hold on their faith because true faith can stand up to questioning."
Some of you wondered why, after that report, we chose to interview an astronomer who is comfortable with the idea of intelligent design. Joel Wright of Vancouver, British Columbia, says we should have spoken to a theologian instead.
But Herman Gusinski of Fairview, North Carolina, says it would have been more balanced to include a statement by an evolutionary biologist on whether recent trends in that field are strengthening or weakening Darwin's original theory.
And in fact, we did get an email from at least one evolutionary biologist, Michael Gilchrist of the University of Tennessee. He writes, "Contrary to what intelligent design proponents would like the public to believe, the current gaps in our understanding of the natural world do not reflect any fundamental shortcomings in the field. Instead, he says, it reflects the fact that the field is still relatively young and that exciting discoveries are yet to be made."
And two corrections now. In a report last month about tsunami relief in Sri Lanka, we misquoted a volunteer with the Tamil Rehabilitation Organization as saying that Tamil Tiger rebels had seized trucks carrying relief items. The volunteer did say that trucks had been seized, but did not attribute those actions to the Tamil Tigers.
Also, a story about the new Health and Human Services Secretary, Mike Leavitt, reported that he had been Utah's longest-serving governor. Not true. Leavitt was the governor of Utah, but the honor for longest running goes to Calvin Rampton, who stepped down in 1977 after 12 years in the job.
"Dear Morning Edition," writes Lawrence Falya of Long Island, New York, "I heard Ketzel Levine's memorial commentary on Horace Hagedorn, the creator and marketer of Miracle-Gro. Though I agree with Levine's feelings about how such chemicals are foisted on gardeners, I felt that sharing those feelings at a time of remembrance was out of place. Over the last few decades," he continues, "the Hagedorns have given millions of dollars to community programs in this part of the country. Their generosity to the solution of local environmental issues and educational programs is almost unmatched by any other individual donors."
Finally, it's easy to understand this writer's pseudonym. He or she goes by the name Angry Eagle. "I'm writing to object to NPR's characterization of the 39th Super Bowl as, quote, not a particularly thrilling game." Not thrilling, Angry Eagle writes? Let's see, a tie game at halftime, multiple comebacks by the Eagles in the second half, good defense, and a 3-point final margin of victory. Just what in the NPR worldview constitutes a thrilling game? A score of 86-83?
You get points always by writing us, but please do tell us your name, how to pronounce it, and where you live. Our email address is morning@npr.org.
We'll be right back.